The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Welcome tonight. It's great to be here. Okay, so start with a bit of memory lane. So I remember standing here about more than 20 years ago in these seats at a night service, singing a song, and it made me silent. It was the first time I felt connected to being part of God's big plan for the world. The words of the song were, they're up here. You said, lift up your eyes. The harvest is here. The kingdom is near. You said, ask and I'll give the nations to you. Oh Lord, that's the cry of my heart. Oh Lord, I ask for the nation. I remember seeing those words. I started singing them, but then I froze and stood silent. I remember thinking, hang on, what if I sing this and God gives me the nation? What if I sing this and God gets me to do something really big? And if I sing it, should I mean it? Or do I mean it? And when I think back to that moment, I do believe I wanted to mean it, but I was really scared. I wanted to be part of something big, but I was scared what that would look like. And as a new and very young Christian, I had all the eagerness to be part of things. I put my hand up to teach Sunday school. The animation's not working. Right, okay. Now that I know that. Now all my hard working, my highlighting. All the best plans. Okay, so I put my hand up to teach Sunday school, but I actually knew nothing. I had to learn the stories of Noah's Ark and Jonah and the whale before I taught them to the kids because I'd never heard them before, even though I was 18 and 19 years old. I probably taught them with more excitement than some of the kids because they were new and it was really exciting to read these stories for the first time. I do, however, remember telling the story of Jonah and that he went and talked to the people of Nineveh the whole time, only to be corrected after that it was Nineveh. Whoops. I didn't really know what I was doing and that what I was doing, I was serving. I remember being excited because I could now drive myself to church and I could be part of all that I could be. I will be forever grateful for this time because it was an incredible blessing to my Christian walk. It was the first time I felt part of something really important and something that made an impact. So when we think about serving, it is a simple yet complex concept. So if we serve, it's not just something we do. There is an attitude towards what we do. There is a lifestyle we choose, and behind it there's a motivation. Whether we realize it or not, there's a master being served. And before all of this, there's a decision that's made from the question as a Christian, do I have to serve? If the first part of the question is true, if you are a Christian, then yes. The second part is a yes, you should serve. The why and the how will determine which master will be served. I want the message tonight here to be one of that sort of encouragement. I don't want to stand here and dictate to you how you all will serve and how you should not serve. To be completely honest, I want you to take from here the encouragement that as a child of God, you can be excited to serve, motivated to meet needs, challenged to glorify God in all you do, and take comfort in the transforming power of the saving grace of God. So the outline tonight, like a good Baptist girl I am, has 3 points. So the first one is, what is serving from a biblical and Christian perspective? The second, we'll look at, why should I serve and should I want to serve? And then, how do I know how God wants me to serve? So what is serving from a Christian perspective? So when we think about serving, it's usually in reference to the tasks we do at church. We'll have rosters, we might have our different roles and how we serve. But is serving more than that? Is serving a pragmatic necessity of in a Christian's life, or does serving give us purpose and testify to God's glory? Serving God in no way is limited to just the things we do, even if they are for God. Serving involves every aspect of our lives as Christians. Understanding what serving is, from how God defines serving, is crucial, as it's in the process of gaining this understanding is where God draws us deeper into the relationship with Him as we learn to see things from His perspective. So when I was doing my reading, I found some quotes that really spoke to me, and I wanted to share them with you. So the first one is from Kirk Wellham, and it's, "To serve God is to love Him with all that we are doing, obeying and enjoying Him forever." The next is, "Serving is to seek to meet the real needs of others, to give oneself to minister for and to others, and to do whatever it takes to accomplish what is best for another." I'm not going to try and pronounce his name. "To serve God means to do God's will, and it includes doing what He commands us to do. It is not enough that we mentally recognize that there is a God. We must do what He commands us to do. And John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So that was from Joshua Francisco J. Ablong. The last quote is probably my favorite. "Serving is one of your life purposes. Mark 8:35 says, "Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. Until you learn how to serve, you're not really living, you are just existing." So in my journey of understanding what serving God is, I found it helpful to go back to the beginning to learn about where the idea of serving came from. So in Genesis chapters 1 to 2, we see that from the power of God's word, He created all things for His honor and glory. It's clear right from the start that God created all things to serve Him. For us humans, we were created to serve God in a way only man could serve. God's command was to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, to have dominion over the fish of the seas, the birds of the air, and all things that moved on earth. Man was entrusted with authority and placed in Eden to delightfully serve God. This serving was to bring fulfillment and contentment because man would be doing what man was created to do. But we all know what happened. Well, that wasn't supposed to come up. Sin entered the world. Kirk Wellham says in his article, "Serving God," the contamination of Adam's race meant they were unable to serve God as they should, even though their responsibility to serve remained. Instead of wholeheartedly serving God, they were enslaved by the dark power of sin that contaminated and made their service unacceptable. Serving God is the basis to our image-bearing creation and unique to humanity, but as sin entered the world, serving has become at times burdensome, frustrating and discouraging. As we continue to read through the Old Testament, God moved people to serve as prophets to interpret the world, as priests to present offerings, and as kings to exercise authority. As the story of the Old Testament unfolds, great servants did great things, but what the story continuously reveals is that it was never enough. No matter what they did, it was never enough to bring God's people back into a holy relationship with God. God's intentions can be seen through the foreshadowing of the lives of servants such as Abraham, Moses, and David. God had to intervene, and He did through sending Jesus, the true and faithful servant. And He did this so that Jesus could perfectly do the will of God and make atonement for the sins of man. If we jump through to Acts chapter 4, and we can see that God's saving work through Jesus gave the early Christians strength to face persecution and testify the victory of Jesus, the holy servant. They recognized the power that was now available to them. And what does this mean for us today? It means that trusting in Jesus makes it possible for us to serve God, and Jesus' words and example shows what it means for our lives as God's people. Serving is not just something we do. As Christians, it is part of who we are and who we're called to be. We must be faithful servants who will do the will of God. When we give up the idea of defining our own terms of service, we are free to walk in a new way where we can see serving God as whatever we do it all in the, to the glory of God. So it's a great segue into our next point, which is why should I serve and should I want to serve? By looking at a biblical perspective of what serving is, I hope you can clearly see that God, the magnificent and mighty creator of all things, does not need us to serve. God can accomplish anything on his own. Kristen Postlethwaite wrote in her article, How Can I Serve God? If by four small words, let there be light, God made the first light that ever existed, does not need me to strive to spread electricity to more remote parts of the world. If from the dust of the ground God created a full-grown human being, does not need me to help care for an elderly grandparent. Nothing we do can ever add to God's magnificence. Our service in his name, however, will magnify who he is and spread his love to a sin-infected world. Our service expresses our gratitude for God sending Jesus, the greatest of all servants, to truly save us and restore us to who we were created to be. Why is adopting this mindset so important? Because the more we recognize our need for God and his grace, the deeper we are in relationship with God, and the more we are to take on the right mindset about serving God. The focus of our serving will then be on God. This mindset is the unmistakable right way of serving. It honors God and blesses others. What this is about is what it means to be a Christian day by day in real life. As said earlier, it's not enough to mentally recognize God. Our serving needs to make God real in all the things we do. We are not saved by works, but true faith must manifest itself in good actions. True faith leads a believer to desire God to transform their way of thinking, so we will come to know what is good and pleasing to God. So if we look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God won't make us do this. It is about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. When we choose to serve God, we are volunteering. This is not a once-off love offering. Verse 2 in Romans 12 says to be transformed, and the same word here is also used to describe Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. Jesus' deity, his inner nature, came to be seen and known that day. When we present ourselves as living sacrifice with a willingness and a desire to serve, our inner nature, Jesus, will be brought out in us. We cannot actively transform ourselves. It is God who transforms us from the inside out. And as he does, we begin to understand more God's will for our lives. Understanding God's call on Christians to live faithfully and as living sacrifices can also be understood by looking at the word vocation. Vocation means calling. And when used by God, it is a personal calling. Vocation is to do with how God governs and cares for his creation by working through us. God brings us into faith and then calls us in different ways to serve. Vocation is where faith bears fruit as we serve in love and brings the gospel into the ordinary and mundane areas of life. Being called into serving gives Christians today a way to live according to his will and to be part of building God's kingdom. God's calling cannot be invented. It is a recognition that takes hold of us, and his calling takes hold of us. Is there any other reason needed to answer the question, why should I serve? Even when we feel we have nothing to give, when we feel fruitless and weary, when serving doesn't feel rewarding and the demand is relentless, the why that fuels the call again and again is always Jesus. Our sense of calling, our desire to serve may change, but Jesus never changes. And this is something to be joyful and grateful for. The response from here is an overflow to serve that expresses our gratitude and appreciation of God, that enhances our joy in God. Serving God with gladness drives our desire to serve. Should we want to serve God? Yes. It's not enough to just serve. We are to serve cheerfully, or how can we serve and bring God glory? Why should we want to serve? Cheerfully serving displays the value of Jesus. It says that we value Jesus more than anything else, more than our time, our effort, our worldly commitments, our money, our success, anything. Wanting to serve and serve Jesus gives Jesus the rightful place in our lives, and his lordship is displayed to others. It is here when our compassion and our gratitude results in a desire to serve the lost, the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. Service birthed from the submission to God first grows a servant who seeks to meet the real needs of others. So I am going to weave into the talk tonight some examples from my own journey. This is not to elevate me to some super Christian standard. My hope is to encourage through testimony. So when I was in grade 5, I decided I was going to be a marine biologist. In grade 10, I decided I would go to university and I would study a Bachelor of Science in Zoology. In 2003, I graduated from university with a Bachelor of Science in Zoology. And in 2004, I graduated with an honours degree in zoology and I wrote a thesis on freshwater fish behavioural ecology. I'm not making that up, it's true. In my mind, for 13 years, my future was set. I had a plan. After graduating, I struggled to find a job, and after I tried a few different career options, I did decide that working as a laboratory assistant at a high school was what I wanted to do. The holidays were a good perk. At the same time, I felt God lead me to chaplaincy. You see, the thing is, I studied zoology because I didn't want to work with people, especially kids. I spent 12 months trudging through the creeks of Brisbane doing experiments to then write a thesis on fish so I didn't have to work with people. I was pretty sure about that. Chaplaincy was not part of the plan, ever. I couldn't deny, though, there was a clear calling to chaplaincy, and I decided to go with it. I got the job. I don't know how, but I remember turning up on the first day. I walked into the school that had given me this job, and I remember standing on the pathway and said, "Okay, God, I've turned up. Now it's up to you, because I have no clue what I'm doing here." The same time, I also got a job at a high school as a science lab assistant. So I thought, perfect. Science and God, two of my favourite things. This is great. I can do both of them. 4 weeks into the year, the high school I was working at was not a very good high school. And there was clashes, and the person who was managing the position made me choose between the two jobs. Said I had to choose. But for me, there wasn't a choice. I knew straight away I had to choose chaplaincy. I'd never felt so sure of anything except for the day I became a Christian. I knew what I had to do. I felt called. That was in 2010, and I'm still a chaplain. I've decided I will work with people now, even kids. Was it hard to walk away from what I considered my dream career? It was so hard. I had planned for this for 13 years. It was what I was going to do. I was even embarrassed at times to tell people what I decided to do because it didn't make sense. But I've never regretted it. And a Bible passage that I've used to determine my check-in with my continual calling is 2 Peter chapter from chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. I won't read the whole thing. But one's highlighted especially. If any time serving God is a burden, I come back to this passage. If I serve from here, from a place where I seek to make these godly attributes listed here mine, then I'll remain effective and fruitful. I will want to serve. Otherwise, I'll find no joy in serving. My calling will not be confirmed. I will fall and I will regret what I walked away from. Yes, we should want to serve. Now, we live in times where there is a desperate battle against atheism and lawlessness. And the common message that is in the world is serve yourself. I do honestly believe that Christians cannot sit in our churches apathetic and unconcerned for the lost, the needy and the oppressed. Adrian Rogers wrote a paper, Where Does God Want You to Serve? And he said, people have tried sin and found it to be sawdust. I believe the sands of time are running low. We're in a race against sin, Satan and self. You must find out what your ministry is in your neighbourhood, your business, your schools, your family, whatever the Lord has for you. If we as Christians are truly grateful for what God has called us into and now calls us children of God, then it should not be a far reach to want to show gratitude, to want to be part of his kingdom works around us. We should want to serve as to be a living example of the power of the gospel to everyone around us. So our third point. How do I know how God wants me to serve? Kristen Postlethwaite describes two types of serving where we can serve like Cinderella or serve like Jesus. Cinderella's actions were there. She served her stepmother and stepsister. She served them well, from what I remember of the story. She did not love her masters, however. She served out of duty, not out of love, gratitude, or faithfulness. Christian says that our serving should not be merely the duties we perform to maintain perception or position. God doesn't want us to serve like that. God wants us to serve because we acknowledge we should serve as an endeavor to honor God and glorify him because we love him and we believe all that God has done for everybody. Serving like Jesus testifies that we value what the Father values. Jesus continually showed the Father's heart and love when he served. Now, Jesus was God in the flesh, so when he served perfectly. We as humans have limitations. The great news is, though, God works in us in different times and in different ways. God gives us our gifts to serve, and he also promised us to give us the strength to serve him. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says that as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's very grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Our ability to serve comes from God. And when we serve, we are doing it what we were designed and created to do. Along with this, we are to know God and find joy in knowing God more intimately. It makes sense then that we ask God to show us how he wants us to serve. God accomplishes his purpose for us by supplying the grace to do the works he invites us to be part of. When deciding how to serve, there are many things to be mindful of. John Piper explains that we serve money by calculating our plans and our effort to benefit the most from what money promises us. We position ourselves so life revolves around trying to gain the greatest benefit from money. Hence why Matthew 6 says, you cannot serve God and money. John Piper continues to say that serving God is much like this, and that we need to calculate our plans and all our efforts to benefit from all that God promises to be for us. Our lives must revolve around trying to position ourselves for the greatest God has to give, himself. Serving is not just what we do. Being a servant should be who we are. Adrian Rogers outlines four principles to help Christians discover their ministry. The first is the principle of lordship, and he bases all of these principles in Romans 12. So we can be assured that if we want to know God's will for our lives, that Jesus wants this even more. Adrian says that when speaking about verse 1, it is as though Jesus were on his knees imploring us to be available and submitted to his lordship. Revisiting the command of submitting ourselves as living sacrifices, it's important to realize that God will not do this for us. We're not forced into service. If we don't know God's will for us or how to serve, we must not first know him as Lord. To be willing to present ourselves and for God to have all there is of us. Christians may want the blessing without the lordship, but just playing church won't bring answered prayers. We cannot serve two masters. God must be Lord. Adrian says that to seek the mind of Christ means we can make assessments we cannot make on our own. We do not have to rely on our own rationality or intuition. We can now assess decisions with divine guidance. Adrian puts it perhaps bluntly, but the will of God is found between your ears when you get right with God. The second principle is the principle of membership. When we serve our church, we recognize that even though we may serve differently, God made us so that we don't function independently from one another. Our church is not an organization. Our church is an organism with Jesus as the head. If we want to discover our ministry, we'll find it as part of the body of Christ. And the third principle is the principle of stewardship. Using the gifts God gives us blesses others, and every Christian has one or more gifts. And the gifts that God has given us, as mentioned in the Bible, as they manifest in Christians, is the ones listed here. We've got prophecy, an ability to speak the truth of God's word into a specific situation. Serving, an ability to identify needs and volunteering to be part of meeting those needs. Teaching can be a variety of contexts, ministries, mission field, Bible studies, evangelizing. Exhortation, encouraging people in the Lord. Within ministries, visitations, counselling, motivating and inspiring others. Giving. All believers are obliged to give, but some have the gift of giving to meet needs above and beyond. They give sacrificially. Ruling. Leadership and administration. Some believers are uniquely gifted to head committees, serving as staff and can direct projects. And mercy. Those who feel genuine empathy for those in distress and act upon it. All believers are gifted in these ways, and all are needed. When we know how God has gifted us, we need to be good stewards over them. We can be encouraged and challenged to know that no one can say they cannot be used by God. God crafted you, he formed you, he gave you your spiritual gifts. The final principle is the principle of fellowship. Adrian Rogers focuses here on the phrase, serve the Lord. When we discern and exercise our gifts, we have fellowship in the body of Christ and in a spirit of love. So from here, what should motivate us? We've seen that we want to serve because we are part of God's kingdom works, because it meets the needs of others, because our serving displays the gospel and causes us and others to praise God. But genuine service cannot be separated from love. It is not enough to find our gifts and then go through the motions. Our heart must be in it, and unless service is motivated by and grounded in love, it is meaningless. Occasionally when I've been asked to speak about chaplaincy, I actually use 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. It's not when I'm doing weddings either. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. The more we experience and understand God's love for us, the more motivated we are to respond in love. A love that acts, as Paul speaks of in this passage. Then our natural response is a desire to love and serve God. When we serve from a position of love, we display the character of Christ that God develops in us. But how do we hear or see or know how God wants us to serve? We need to be looking and considering and knowing our gifts and then consider what our talents are. From here, we each can determine how we are wired and what we are good at. Think about our ability to serve and how it's affected by our life experiences, our education, our sufferings, our skills. God can take every experience and characteristic and purpose it for his redemptive works. We can consider the situation we are in along with its challenges and responsibilities, as well as who we are and the people in our lives and who we have in front of us to serve. But also, don't limit ourselves by not considering what brings us pleasure, what ignites our passion. Take all this and pray and ask God, how is he going to use you for for his purpose? So when I consider in what ways I want to and should serve, a few years ago, I decided to characterize, yes, I'm a nerd, the ways I serve. I look for ways to serve in my church family, being on rosters, whatever the job is. Then I look for ways to serve that match my gifts that God's given me. In the past, it's been kids' ministries, not freshwater fish, apparently. And at the end of 2022, I realized each week I came along to youth group to serve, but I left my youngest son at home with my parents, and it just didn't feel right. I decided that the ministry in my family was more important, so I stepped away from youth ministry. I was like, what now? But at the same time, lovely Bill gave me the opportunity to present my first third Monday night talk. And it gave me a way to serve and I could use gifts that God had given me and it works with my current situation. Then I chose a ministry area that I like, missions. Serving on the ministry missions committee fans the flames of passions for missions. It is a blessing and a joy for me to serve in this way. I enjoy it and it brings me pleasure. Now God can speak to us in so many ways. In 2016, I went on a mission awareness trip to Thailand with a team from this church. While we were there, we heard a number of stories of how God spoke to people and revealed his plans through dreams. It fit the context of a very Buddhist prominent culture, and it testified to the fact that God was greater than all the spiritual powers at work in that country. On our last night we were there, I had a dream that I can still remember. I was in a front yard watering a garden. And you know when you water a garden too much and the water just starts to pool on the dirt? That was happening. And there were people around and I tried to get their attention, but they just weren't talking to me. Then I was in a cafe and I started to water the walls. And even though I was dreaming, I felt awkward. I can still remember being asleep, but feeling so awkward. You don't do that. You don't water walls. And I was so confused by this dream, but I knew it meant something. At first I thought it was about how God works in places that are often deemed unworkable. I returned home and I returned to work at the school I was chaplain at the time, but I couldn't settle. I felt so uneasy at my school, and I started to realize I wasn't where I should be. But to leave seemed wrong. It seemed awkward. And that dream kept coming up to the forefront of my mind. I prayed and asked God to reveal what he was calling me to, and I sensed God was calling me to apply to be Undurba's chaplain. I really didn't want to. I wanted to stay where I was. But the more I thought about staying, the more I felt like I was in the dream and watering where I shouldn't be. Well, you know the rest. I applied and I'm now Undurba's chaplain. God was right, as he usually is. And often we'll hear people say God speaks to them. When I was a new Christian, I thought those people were very weird. I had no idea what they were talking about when they said, God said this to me, God spoke to me. I used to just nod and go along with it, but I had no idea. Thankfully, I came to learn that God speaks through promptings and his word and the Bible, his creation and other people. And staying in step with the Spirit keeps us in tune and ready to hear God. Each start to the year, I go and attend a prayer retreat for chaplains. And I go and I ask God for a word for the year, and each year I receive a word. And it's usually I get some sort of indication of what's going to happen. Sometimes I've no idea. In January 2021, the word I received was way. And along with it, I had two passages, one in Isaiah and a psalm. The same retreat, a speaker talked about legacy and asked us to consider what legacy we wanted for our chaplaincy services. I was praying and God gave me a picture in my mind, a vision. I could see Ndurba and a path of water running through the school. It came across the road, around this church, back across the road and around school. I could still walk the path that I saw that day. I sensed God was saying that he was going to use me to create a legacy to connect the school and the church more, to bring school to the church and church to the school. Up until then, I'd been leading a holiday camp up at Mapleton, an SU camp. But because of life's changes in life circumstances that year, I had to step away from that camp. And straight away, I sensed God called me to a ministry area or to organise a shack camp, which is a school holiday day camp here at church. And then again, I saw that vision of running water. These callings and moments have been like Ebenezers for me, and I have seen God do incredible things through my obedience to them. I'm not sure why water is a theme for the things of my visions, but they make for nice tattoos, so that's okay. But there is a theme of water. One day I might understand why. So tonight, I invite you all to reflect with me on serving. There are times, including myself, that where we might serve for the wrong reasons, or we choose not to serve, or we are sinfully motivated. God's grace reminds us that he forgives the sins of our hearts and our actions. Reflect with me to find ways to rejoice in the wonder of serving, the way we can serve and the wonder of serving Jesus and the body of Christ. The why of serving cannot be anything less than Jesus. Even when our circumstances change, our feeling towards serving or the fruit from our serving changes, Jesus never does. It is truly my hope that it's from this that we are inspired to persevere even when it's hard to serve. Seeking God to revolutionize our hearts and mind to serving God, to knowing God and his grace, his gifts and his strength. And all of this can fuel us even when we feel like we've got nothing left to give. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.